जय राधा माधव।
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text number 46, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 8th May of 1997 in New Delhi, India.
Gopi jana bala bhava dhari. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text 46. Deste swecha butai rupe, kale kale swayam vibho, karma durvishaham yanno, bhagavam stat karotihi. Om Agyan Timiran Dasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamlam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Laguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvetam Savadhutam, Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha, He Krishna Karna Sindho, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesa Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivashadi Ghor Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Teste Svecha Bhutai Rupe, Kale Kale Swayam Vibho, Karma Durvisaham Yanno, Bhagavam Stat Karoti Hi. Who is the speaker of this verse? Lord Brahma is the speaker of these verses, and obviously Lord Brahma is addressing the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the verse prior to this, Lord Brahma has very nicely established how the Supreme Lord actually is a person. Lord Brahma establishes this by begging for the opportunity to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord and to meditate on the Personality of Godhead. So once again we see the Bhagavatam clearly establishing that the Supreme Lord is actually a person. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. This verse from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And in this verse it is said that the Supreme can be realized in different phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And the Bhagavan realization, which is the realization of the Lord's personality, the Lord is a person, the Lord is possessing transcendental qualities. This is the highest of all. Now, in this verse, the verse under review today, Lord Brahma establishes that the Supreme Lord appears on His own sweet will. Do we appear on our own sweet will? Huh? Do all of you have the privilege of appearing on your own sweet will? No. Otherwise you would all desire, I might take my birth in a millionaire's family in America. But you can't take your birth on your own sweet will. We take our birth influenced by our karma. Based on our karma, we take on birth in different pieces of life and in different situations. You may have a handsome body, you may be born in a rich family, you may be very well materially educated due to past karma. And if you have very sinful karma, then you are taken birth in lower species of life or even in human form, but not with the same privileges. So based on karma, we take our birth in different situations. But what Lord Brahma is saying, my dear Lord, you take your birth based on your own sweet will. In other words, Krishna doesn't have to go through the law of karma. Krishna is free from the law of karma. The law of karma is for us Nityabaddhas, the conditioned living entity. The Supreme Lord appears on His own free will. Prabhupada quotes this verse from the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this very famous verse. Which is the famous verse that Prabhupada is quoting in the purport? Yada yada hi dharma se gnanir bhavatir bharata abhyutaram tadharma se dhatanam shri jamyaham. Prabhupada explains in the purport of this verse the word Shrija. He says, Shrija means manifest. So the Lord, He doesn't appear like you and I. He manifests Himself. Just like the birthday of the Lord, which is known as Janamasmi. Many of us say, oh, it's the Lord's birthday. He took His birth on this day. But the Lord doesn't take His birth, but He manifests Himself by His own sweet will. And why does He manifest Himself? Paritanaya sadhunam vinashicha duskritam dharma sansarpanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. I appear, just like over here it is said, kale kale. Kale kale means in different millenniums. So the Lord manifests Himself in different at different times to establish the principles of religion. Now, this verse discusses the different incarnations of the Lord. Now, in terms of the incarnations of the Lord, it has been said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like you cannot count the atoms that come and go out of a window or standing on the banks of a river, you can't count the waves of the river, you can't really count the innumerable incarnations of the Lord. But the great sages have explained to us that there are different categories of avatars or incarnation. Avatar means one who descends. One who descends from the spiritual world. What are the categories? One category is the category of Purusha Avatar. Purusha Avatar category is the expansion of the Lord for the purpose of creation. Karma Dakshaya Vishnu, Shiro Dakshaya Vishnu, Karma Dakshaya Vishnu. Then there is the Manvantara Avatar, Leela Avatar, Guna Avatar, Shaktavesh Avatar. These are broadly different categories of incarnations of the Lord. And the Lord gets recognized on the basis of two characteristics. One is known as the principal characteristic and the other is known as the marginal characteristic. Principal characteristic refers to the bodily description of the Lord. Marginal activity refers to the activity that the particular incarnation will engage in. For example, In the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he would appear as one who is which complexion? Golden in complexion. So golden in complexion means, refers to his principal characteristic. And as one who would be engaged in singing the glories of the Lord. In other words, it explains what is his activity going to be. That refers to the marginal characteristic of the Lord. So on the basis of principal and marginal characteristics, we can ascertain who is genuine and who is false. Just like these days, there are so many people who claim to be incarnations of the Lord. But actually, on the basis of the scriptures only, we can understand or accept incarnation. Just because somebody may do some magic, we are not going to accept him as God. We're going to accept him as God on the basis of Shastra. Just like even the appearance of Lord Buddha was actually pre-told in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Lord Brahma is saying that the Lord appears from time to time in different incarnations on his own sweet will, and he performs, what does he perform? Uncommon activities. Lord Brahma is saying in this verse, the Lord appears on his own sweet will, different millenniums, performing uncommon activities. So what does it mean, uncommon activity? It means activity that cannot be performed by any other living entity or Divya Leela. Not Krishna Leela means Divya Leela. Divya Leela means transcendental activities that cannot be equaled by anyone. Krishna performed these transcendental activities for many reasons. One is, he wants to establish once for all that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that in future, when any impostor claims to be incarnation, he can be tested on the basis of his activities. And because he is the Supreme Lord, he has to perform something unusual. You can't expect God to just appear and perform an activity that you and I perform. God has transcendental activities, transcendental characteristics. Just like every morning we greet the deities accompanied by the Govindam prayer. What is the Govindam prayer? Of course, many of us hear that because it is very sweetly sung and the music is very nice. Huh? So that's good. At least you're attracted to Krishna. But if you probe deeper and try to meditate on the meaning of the song, how Lord Brahma describes the Lord as the cause of all causes, how the Lord can perform any function with any one part of his body. The Brahma Samhita is a wonderful offering of praise in glorification of the unlimited transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So, the Supreme Lord performs uncommon activities. Just like in this purport, Prabhupada has referred to some of the incarnations of the Lord, isn't it? Lord Prabhupada refers to Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nasingha, Vamana, Parashuram, Ramachandra, Balaram, Buddha. So these are just some of the incarnations of the Lord. But they all perform superhuman activities, just like Prabhupada mentions Lord Vamanadeva. So Lord Vamanadeva appeared as a beggar. He came as a beggar in a very opulent sacrifice that was being performed by Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was very, very attracted to the beauty of the Lord. Bali Maharaj had a guru. There are two types of gurus. One is guru on the basis of birth. So it goes father to son. Father was in the gadi, so now the son must also sit in the gadi. There are many sampradayas in India where the gadi is on the basis of birth, am I right? And the other is guru on the basis of guna, qualification. So Vamanadev, his guru's name, Bali Maharaj, his guru's name was Shukracharya. Shukra in Sanskrit means seaman. So Shukracharya was his guru or teacher on the basis of seminal discharge or on the basis of birth. So Shukracharya became aware that his disciple Bali Maharaj has offered to give Vamanadeva enough land equal to 3 footsteps. Bali Maharaj greeted Vamanadeva and he said, "You're a very handsome beggar. Tell me, what can I do for you?" The beggar said, "Just give me enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. And Bali Maharaj said, "You don't look intelligent to me at all. You don't go to a big man and ask him for some grains of rice. You ask him for something more. You don't go to a king and say, 'Give me some, just enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. Ask me for something more.'" So Shukracharya knew that this beggar is not a beggar, but it's God incarnate. So Shukracharya told Bali Maharaj, "You fool, you do not know what you have done. You have just willed away your entire property. This beggar is not a beggar. He is the Lord, and he has come to take away all your riches. So don't honor this promise." You can tell him that you were joking. And Shukracharya said, "There's no harm. Husband jokes with wives. These are friends who joke with each other. So tell him you are joking." So Bali Maharaj said, "This earth, it can tolerate the weight of the mountains. This earth can tolerate the weight of the oceans and the rivers. But it cannot tolerate the weight of a liar." So he said, "I cannot lie. Truthfulness is one of the essential ingredients of religion. Religion means you must be truthful, you must be austere, you must believe in cleanliness, and what else? You must have mercy, characteristic of mercy. So it's a Vaishnava especially should be very, very truthful. We practice truthfulness by first being truthful to the instructions of the Supreme Lord, accepting the instructions as they are. Then this concept of truthfulness is extended to following the instructions of the spiritual master. Then this is extended to be truthful in our Vaishnava dealings with each other. And if truthfulness is the foundation or the basis of our spiritual life, then spiritual life will be very pleasant and we will always be under Krishna's protection. And if we are not truthful, if we are deceitful, cunning, and untruthful, then materially we may succeed, but spiritually we will fail. And our real goal should be to succeed spiritually and not materially." So Bali Maharaj refused to go back on the commitment that he had given to Vamanadeva. He refused to lie. And Vamanadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, it did something uncommon. With the first footstep, he covered the whole earth. With the second footstep, he covered everything from the earth to the sky. And in the third footstep, what did he do? No place. So he kept it on his head. So the point that you're making is, the Lord performed superhuman activities when he appeared that cannot be performed by any ordinary person. Just like over here, Prabhupada also mentioned the incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. Even today, people remember, worship Lord Ramachandra. In our new temple, we're going to have the deities of Lord Ramachandra also. Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So, Lord Ramachandra also, when he was on the planet, he performed superhuman activities. When he had to cross the Indian Ocean, the monkeys threw stones, but they didn't sink. They didn't get drowned. They were sinking. So when the Lord appears, He performs transcendental activities, and Lord Ramachandra, during his reign, people were so happy that there was no misery in life. People could even choose their own moment of death. Even the moment of death was on your own free will. If you were given that free choice today, would any of the funeral homes and the Shamshan Ghats would go broke? Because nobody would actually choose his moment of death. But there was no disease, there was no old age, there was no death. People on their own would leave. So even today, people remember Ram Rajya. Why? Because Ram Rajya is a period in history that was associated with immense happiness, because everybody was engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, when he appeared, he performed so many transcendental activities from beginning to end. All his activities were transcendental. That's why Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter establishes Janma Karma Chame Divyam. My coming and going is all Divyam. Just like when Krishna appeared in front of his parents. Did he come out of the mother's womb with a dirty body crying? He appeared in his transcendental four-handed form. Then when his parents requested, please, because his parents were locked up in jail, they knew if Kansa finds out that the son had appeared, he would get killed. She said, so at the request of the parents, he at once transformed himself to an ornate. And then when he was being carried across the river so that Kamsa would not detect, his father was carrying him, it was pouring. Vananta sage gave shelter, and there was so much light emanating from the body of the child. And in dense darkness, when it was lightning, thundering, his father could see across, he could see the path. So there's so many transcendental activities. When Krishna was a young child, he kicked the carts, and they came rolling down, isn't it? And everybody was amazed. There was a party going on, and everybody was amazed. Oh, how did these carts come tumbling down? Till they discovered, oh, it was his babies. Some of the ladies said, oh, there was a baby who kicked the cart. Then again, Krishna, when he was crawling in the courtyard of his father, he pulled down two huge trees. He pulled them down. And everybody was amazed. Oh, how did this child do this? Then when he killed this very beautiful demon, Putana, then this demon, Trinavarta, how the Trinavarta went higher and higher in space. But Krishna, by his weight, pulled the demon down. And eventually the demon collapsed. Of course, there's a famous incarnation for our pastime of the Lord lifting Govardhan Hill. There's so many. You read the Krishna book, you read nothing but transcendental stories. So Krishna also, when he appeared, he performed superhuman activities which cannot be equaled by any other personality. So we must understand that when we worship Krishna, we are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Prabhupada, after greeting the deities, he started his lecture in New York by saying, Govinda Madhi Purusam Tama Mahamajami. He said, we are worshipping the real Lord. We are worshipping the real God. We are not worshipping some cheating God personality. We are worshipping Bhagavatam. There is a very famous verse, Vasudeva Para Veda. So Bhagavatam says that the goal of all Vedic knowledge is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Videsha Sarvarahem Eva Veda Yo, Vedantakit Veda Vit Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Why? Because I am the compiler of the... So it says, Vasudeva Para Veda, Vasudeva Para Makhe. The goal of all sacrifices, people engage in many different types of sacrifices, but actually the goal of all sacrifices should be to please Vasudeva. That should be the goal of all sacrifices. Then, Vasudeva para yoga. You're calling up Krishna's name is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means the master of all mystic yoga. So there are different types of siddhis also that one can acquire. People do yoga. But yoga today is a very fancy word. It's a fancy word because people's understanding of yoga is some type of exercise as a result of which your body will be strong and you can have more sense enjoyment. But really, the real meaning of yoga is to link oneself with the Supreme, to connect with the Supreme Lord. So Vasudeva para yoga, that is, the goal of yoga should also be to meditate on the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the concluding verse of the 6th chapter, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham. Who is the perfect yogi? Who is always meditating on me? Somehow the other, we must come to the point that we're always meditating on Krishna. Krishna's instructions, Krishna's desires, Krishna's personality. Just like in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains all these rules and regulations that are there in the scriptures. They are all meant to bring us to the point where we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So, what is the key to gaining the ability to remember Krishna? To chant and glorify Him. Just like this morning, I'm very grateful that all of you devotees chanted in the temple or outside. And at the end of the class, we'll review how many rounds everyone did. So, I'm very happy. So if you all chant like this every day, finish your rounds every day before eating prasad, like we resolved the other day, then to remember Krishna during the day will be very, very easy. Especially if you chant nicely and you hear the class and read, then to remember Krishna will be very, very, very easy. After all, when it says Vasudeva para yoga, the goal of yoga is also to please Vasudeva. And real yoga is to always think about the Lord. To come to the point where you're always meditating on Krishna's desire, Krishna's form, etc. So that is the goal of yoga. Vasudeva para kriya. Kriya means fruitive activities. So you may say, this is amazing. Fruitive activity, you're saying, is also to please Vasudeva, Vasudeva para kriya. Doesn't Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever benediction you get, even though it comes from the demigod, it is actually coming from me? Doesn't Krishna say, don't go to the demigods, come to me? Doesn't Bhagavad Gita say, four types of people come to me? Who? One who is in distress, one who is inquisitive, one who wants paisa, one who wants the money, and one who wants genuine seeker of knowledge. So even if you want paisa, dollars, Krishna says, come to me. So similarly, Krishna says, Vasudeva para kriya. The goal of all fruitive work also is to come to me. Because Krishna is so powerful, that it doesn't matter what your intention may be, what your motive may be, you will get purified. That is guaranteed. Just like the sun. The sun can cleanse even stool and urine water, isn't it? This drainage that comes out of our flush system, eventually the sun can purify anything. So the goal of sacrifices should also be to please Vasudeva. Then Vasudeva param jnanam, the goal of knowledge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, four types of people don't surrender to me. Na mam duskritino mura prapadyante naradama mayaya partha jnana ashram bhavan ashram. So one of the four categories is mayaya partha jnana. This category consists of those who may be maturely very learned, who may be big Sanskrit pandits, PhD degrees, so on. But actually, they use this so-called mundane learning to give their own interpretation to the words of God. And they do not, and they distort the original teachings of the Lord. Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Panam Jnanam, that if you have knowledge, the goal of Jnana Yoga is also to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva Panam Tapa. Tapa means austerity. Lord Brahma, when he was in deep meditation, he heard, what did he hear? Tapa. Hear the sound, vibration, tapa. Therefore, Lord Brahma says in the third canto, Tapa Seva Param Jyotir Bhagavatam Adhokshajam. He says that the Supreme Lord is actually Adhokshaja, very difficult to understand. But through the medium of tapasya, you can understand the Supreme Lord. Just like there's no question that if you want to succeed on the spiritual path, you naturally have to follow a disciplined life, a life of austerity. Just like we request devotees to get up for Mangal Arati. So naturally to break your sleep at 3:34, little austerity. Then to chant your rounds instead of going to sleep in the morning, that's also austerity. Then to follow four regulative principles is also austerity. Then to chant 16 rounds, read, it's also austerity. So it is austerity. Definitely, we are going to cheat the public and say, no, there's no austerity. No, there is austerity, definitely. But this austerity results in satisfaction, whereas material austerity results in constant frustration. In the material world, there is also austerity. But in the end, everyone is frustrated. Every materialist dies as a frustrated man. But the devotee, in exchange for his spiritual austerity, he is able to derive satisfaction and happiness. This is very nicely explained by Lord Rishabhdev in the fifth canto. In the fifth canto, Lord Rishabhdev explains this point by stating, Tapo devyam putraka yena sattvam shudayera smad brahma sokhyam anantam. He says that when you perform tapasya, austerity, that is transcendental in nature, or which is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, then in exchange for this, you will realize spiritual happiness. And anantam. Anantam means unending happiness. Unending happiness. Can you imagine? Happiness that will never end. Just like when you go to watch a movie, hopefully you all don't go to watch movies now, but when people go to watch a movie, you know, they're enjoying the air-conditioned theater, but they know that very soon my happiness is going to come to an end, isn't it? I'll have to walk out of this theater in a sad face, this entertainment's going to finish. Everyone's watching this cricket match, then when it's about 5 o'clock, oh, now the match has ended. They feel sad. They know that it's going to end. You may be very handsome, very successful businessman with a sweet family, but you know one day this happiness, all this, is going to go away. So that's the nature of material happiness. But spiritual happiness is unending. It goes on increasing. So someone may say, but don't devotees fall sick? Don't devotees get old? Don't devotees die? Don't devotees also have to beg? So, what's the difference? It's exactly the same route that we take. So there is a difference. The difference is, the devotee, when he's engaged in service to the Lord, in every situation he's undisturbed. And because he is fully connected to the Lord and linked to the Lord through the medium of service, he is satisfied even in a position of distress. Otherwise, why would Queen Kunti pray? Vipadu sandhutaha sashva tatra tatra jagaduru bhavata darshanam yatsat apunar bhava darshanam. Why would she say, my dear Lord, increase my distress? Huh? Why? Because she was satisfied. And she thought that, she prayed, that if my distress increases, I will meditate on you even further. And the more I meditate on you, the faster I will gain freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So the point is that in exchange for spiritual happiness, there is a realization of unending, in exchange for spiritual austerity, there is a realization of unending happiness. Then, Vasudeva Paro Dharma, the goal of all dharma. Today there are so many dharmas all over, isn't it? People say, I'm confused, there's so many dharmas, which path should I take? This guru says this is the right path, that guru says, everyone says my path is the right path, isn't it? Yeah, a few days ago, I was told that one person in India who very staunchly preaches total Mayavadi philosophy, and a big guru who walks in a suit, he goes around in a suit, traveling everywhere. He was given a very big award in England, equal to about £500,000. For what he was given, I don't know. Anyway, so he's a complete... And so there's so many dharmas today. But dharma has to be examined on the basis of Shruti and Smriti. Therefore, Rupa Goswami warned us 500 years ago. What did he say? Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Panchratraka, Vinamina, Ekantiki, Hari, Bhakti, Pata, Eva, Kalpate. See, that religion which is not based on Shruti and Smriti, it will simply create a disturbance in society. So, Vasudeva Paro Dharma, the goal of dharma must be to please Vasudeva. That is actually the perfection of life. The goal of dharma is not that you follow some concocted religious path. Real, genuine dharma is that which teaches us to please Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paragata. The goal of all our life should be to please Vasudeva. So Lord Brahma is explaining that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He appears on His own sweet will. He doesn't appear like you and I appear. And He appears in many incarnations, not one or two. For example, the Christians say God has one son. Prabhupada used to say, how can God have only one son? An ordinary man can have 100 sons. And he said, God can only have one son. God has unlimited sons. God can appear in innumerable incarnation, just like the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. He is non-different but from the combination of Radha and Krishna. But He appeared in the role of a devotee. But though He appeared in the role of a devotee, He also performed superhuman activities, just to make his devotees realize. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was a small boy, small bachcha, very small boy. His father's name was Jagannath Mishra. So his father was very hospitable. Sadhus would constantly come to his house and his father would take care of them, serve them, just like Prabhupada's father. Prabhupada's father was also very fond of feeding sadhus. Anyway, Jagannath Mishra, the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he used to take care of... So there was a Brahmin who had come to live in Jagannath Mishra's house. So that Brahmin was preparing his own offering for the law, for the deity. So he would offer the prasad to the deity. And as he was offering, the baby Chaitanya, baby Nitai came and ate that offering. So that devotee Brahmana was very upset. Not so upset, but he said, oh, now I can't offer this to the Lord because it has been eaten by a child before the offering is complete. So he said, okay, maybe I won't eat today. The Lord doesn't want me to eat. A Brahman never curses anyone, never gets angry. Even if he's in a position of difficulty. Gyanagyam is an idol. You're a genuine Brahman. You never complain. So anyway, a Brahmin never complained. So the Brahmana said, oh, I'm not going to eat today. I should fast. But Jagannath Mishra said, no, you must eat. You can't come to my house and not eat. You must eat. And he gave him some more sabji and all that. So he cooked again. So he offered his food self. Again, baby Nimai came and ate the offering. So his father was very angry at Nimai. Very angry. He took him and tied him up in a room far away from where the... And he told the Brahmin, This is the first time this has happened in my house. Please don't, we want you to eat. So the Brahmin was forced by Jagannath Mesa to cook again. So he cooked again, midnight. It was night. And as he was doing the offering, the baby again showed up and started eating the offering. And at this point, the Brahmin gave up and said, it's my bad luck. I can't offer anything to the Lord. But actually, it was his good luck. Because at that point, baby Krishna, Nimai, revealed this form of Krishna. Told him, don't tell anyone that you have seen this transcendental form. And he showed him his transcendental form. So that Brahmin was in a dilemma. His dilemma was, on the one hand, now he knew that it is God. But on the other hand, he was told by Lord Chaitanya not to tell anyone that he saw this transcendental form. And he didn't want others to commit offenses at the feet of the Supreme Lord. So even Lord Chaitanya, then when he was doing this ecstatic kirtan in the house of Srivasacharya, they were doing very ecstatic kirtan. And the devotees were saying, we are hungry, thirsty. You know, when you do a long kirtan in it, they said, can we get a mango to eat? So what did Lord Chaitanya do? Implanted a mango seed. And instantly, that mango seed fructified into a huge tree with very sweet mangoes. And in those mangoes, there was no mango skin, there were no bone inside. And for every day that they performed kirtan, that tree would give unlimited mangoes to all the devotees who were taking part in the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya revealed his transcendental form to his confidential devotees like Haridas, Nityananda, Kolavicha, Sridhar, Advaita in the house of Srivas. And then again, he revealed a Sadbhuj form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the point is that the Lord comes and he does perform his transcendental activities. But to understand these transcendental activities, we have to approach the Lord through the medium of devotees, through the medium of bhakti. This is clearly stated. Sevu mukehi jiva do soyam eva spuratyadaha. That is Athasha Krishna Namadina Bhavet Grahim Indriyahi. You try to understand the Lord through your material senses, you'll constantly be baffled. But if you try to understand the Lord through the medium of devotional service, then you can understand the Lord. Just like in our Krishna conscious movement, you have devotees who are maturely uneducated. They may be speaking faulty language, faulty Sanskrit, but they're engaged in devotional service. So because they're engaged in service, they know who is Supreme Krishna. What is the medium to realizing Him? Chanting Hare Krishna. So the power of devotion is so powerful that it enables us, it cleanses the heart and enables us to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma is establishing that the Lord appears by His own sweet will. So we should never think, oh, the Lord has to appear because of some material factor or some material pressure or some law of karma. No! And the Lord can also appear as a fish. Matsyavatar. He can appear as voila. He can appear as a hawk. Normally, nobody likes going next to a hawk. But we worship the Lord in His hawk incarnation. We worship the Lord in His fish incarnation. Jayadeva Goswami very nicely glorifies the innumerable incarnations of the Lord. Prabhupada, the purpose of Keshava, Dita, Meenakshi, and Jaya Jagadish Hare. So, the Lord is Jagadish. He is the proprietor of the universe. So, the devotee tries to understand the supreme position of the Lord by taking to the process of the devotional service and by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Our faith, determination will get stronger and we'll be able to make spiritual advancement. So Lord Brahma is describing that the Lord appears by His own free will. The Lord appears in many incarnations, and the Lord's incarnations always perform uncomparable activities or divine activities or transcendental activities that cannot in any way be equaled by any individual. Therefore, he is Krishna, Ekala Ishwara Krishna. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even the demigods are his servants. The demigods are also anxious to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna.